The vision of Grace Church is to make disciples through personal relationships, strong children, and youth ministries. And I want to tell you that our children's ministries and our youth group, man, they're reaching a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers. And I just want to bring this word to all of us today that we need to really refocus on relationships. Relationships are a key part of fruitful ministry. The church, this church, has a lot of strengths. And as I said, youth ministry and children's ministry, great worship. You know what really makes us strong, though? It is those personal relationships, the connections that we have with one another, that we really are a body. One of the things that Satan did and really attempted to do was over the last year to year and a half in dealing with the pandemic and all of that, is that he isolated and separated people. Because, you see, we need those relationships. We need that closeness. That's what it is to be a part of the body of Christ. None of us is the body of Christ on our own. No, we together are the body of Christ. And so it's time now for us to refocus on relationships. See, there's a whole lot of people today that are not in church that were in church a year and a half ago. And a big part of the reason that they're not in church now is because there's been a separation, there's been an isolation. That's how vital it is, you see, that we have those relationships. Without those relationships, a lot of times people just don't make it. And so we need to realize in the body of Christ, it's all about relationships. That's why the church is called a body. We need each other. It's time for us to refocus on relationships. Ephesians 4 and 16, in the NIV, it says it this way. From him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Well, this is how the body grows and is edified. It's as each one of us does our part in love. But I want you to notice here that he talks about the body being joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And you see, that means that it is absolutely vital, it's absolutely necessary that we are held together. We need strong connections. We need strong ties with one another that are not just quickly severed and forgotten, but no, we need the kind of relationships that will help us personally to grow in the Lord and get stronger, but also help others grow in the Lord and get stronger. But for the body to function properly, effectively, to be fruitful, we have to hold together. We have to have that connection with other people. And you know, I really believe that that's one of the reasons that it's so important that we have a small group ministry. You know, in the early church, it talks about how they met together daily. And in that culture, it came a lot more natural for them to do that because many of those who were Jews and they became believers, they were ostracized from their families. They were put out of their work, and they gathered together of necessity. In our culture, we're all so busy, we're all so scattered, that unless we intentionally get together, it doesn't happen. And so whether it's a small group or a book study, being involved in some particular area of ministry, or you just getting together with some friends, but it has to happen that we also are getting together with other believers and developing those close relationships and friendships that are meaningful. That's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, there's this attitude in America that has bled over into the church, and so many people condone this attitude and profess this attitude. They say that, you know, it's just me and Jesus. I don't need anybody else. This independence that promotes isolation, and separation. And so many who consider themselves Christians, they could care less about the church. But I tell you, that attitude does not come from the Scripture. It is straight from the pit of hell to try to divide and weaken the body of Christ and those individuals and keep them from really living the life that God has called them to. Because here's what the Bible says at 1 Corinthians 12, 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. You see, this is the way it is in a body. We need all of the other parts. The Bible says that I need you. The Bible says that you need that other person over there. We need all of the parts of the body for us to really be all that God wants us to be. That isolation, independence, that attitude is a stumbling block for so many people. You know, I think especially sometimes for men, to say that we, even to admit to ourselves, to think that we need others, well, that's a sign of weakness. Let me tell you what is a sure sign of weakness, is that you're all by yourself. That's a real sign of weakness, because together we are so much stronger. And the Bible makes that so clear, that two are better than one. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. See, we need one another. We're stronger together, not stronger because you're trying to do it alone. That's not strong. That's stupid. No, we're a body. This is the way Jesus designed it. This isn't church doctrine. This isn't some religious idea. This is Jesus' body. Amen. He's the head, and he says that we all need one another. In Ephesians 4:25, it says, we are members of one another. Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute about what that means, the word member. Because most of the time when churches talk about being a member, they're talking about that you officially joined the church. In fact, that's the way we commonly use the word in our culture today. When we say member, you know, that means that you've joined some club or you've become a part of this certain thing. I'm a member of it. I want you to hear me now. 100% of the time when the word member is used in the New Testament, it is not talking about that you joined a club. It is talking about that you are a body part. When it says member, it's always talking about a part of the body. These are members. That's what it's talking about. That's that Greek word. That's the way that English word is meant to be taken. It's not talking about joining a church. It's talking about that you are a body part of the body of Christ. We are members one of another. How could we ever think that we don't need one another? That we don't need to have close relationships within the body of Christ? How much we need that. In Romans 12, 4 and 5, it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're all of the same body. Right. Members of one another. We belong to each other. This attitude that we don't need to be close to others, that is so much a part of what is missing in the lives of so many believers. I mean, trying to live the Christian life without having close relationships with other believers that you're doing life with on a daily basis, that just doesn't work. That is weak, ineffective, inept, and I'm telling you, it doesn't get the job done at reaching this world. We're only strong when we are connected with one another. It is we as a body that are the body of Jesus. That's the way it works. In Hebrews 10:25 in the NIV, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, you notice here he says, don't give up the habit of meeting together. Well, a lot of people have given up the habit. We need to be intentional about it, that we get together with other believers all the time. Because of the times that we live in, it's so important that we get together. Because let me tell you something, there's plenty of opportunities to get discouraged. There's plenty of opportunities to get beat down and to get to that place where you don't know what to do. I'm telling you, we need to be encouraging one another all the time. Right. Now, I don't know if you heard the reports this morning, but man, I really had a hard time the first service. Couldn't get my notes together. I had scrambled eggs I was trying to preach from. Printer wouldn't work. Computer didn't work right. I just had a mess going. But you know what? After the service, a sweet couple came up to me and they told me how good it was. I was just like, man, God sent you today to encourage me. But here's the thing. Every single one of us needs that. Every single one of us needs somebody in our corner that's encouraging us. You know what? I'm an old guy now. I've been doing this for 40 years. And I don't have to have somebody pat me on the back. I'm just going to keep plugging away. At least that's what I think. But here's the thing. How much better and stronger I am when people encourage me. And that's the way all of us are. We do better when we're connected with other people. That's the way he designed it. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that encouragement, I shouldn't have said that. That was prideful because, you know, but for the grace of God, I don't know I could handle it without people patting me on the back once in a while. I'm just saying, but here's something that's really important, though. You see, for a whole lot of people, encouraging others is part of how we keep them from slipping through the cracks and they just kind of fade away. What happened to those people? And what happened to that one? And what happened to that one? Well, let me tell you, a lot of the time, they were in a hard place and they didn't get any encouragement. You see, it's not just that's nice, pat on the back. No, a lot of the time, it is a spiritual boost that we need to keep going. Amen. And Hebrews 3:13, in the NIV, it reads this way, "Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Encourage one another daily. So I hope that you encourage one another when we come together for corporate worship. But if you're going to do this daily, you're going to have some real relationships with some people. I believe that the Word of God is for us today. I believe that it speaks to me. I believe that when it says, do this, that I'm actually supposed to do it. Do you? Amen. And the Bible says, encourage one another daily. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to daily have some interaction and relationships with some other people. And you know what? That is really happening in this church right now, and I'm excited about it, but I'm just saying, all of us need to be a part of that. All of us need to refocus on relationships. Realize that it's not just nice. It's a priority. It's a necessity in the body of Christ. And notice here in this verse, he says, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, there's all kinds of sin. There's all kinds of addictions and bad habits and wrongs. It's also a sin, the Bible says, to know something that you're supposed to do and to not do it. There's all kinds of sins. But here's the thing about sin. It's deceitful. It's amazing how people can be deceived that what they're doing is okay or what they're not doing is okay. It's amazing how people can be deceived. Somehow they justify, they rationalize that it doesn't really matter. We need to encourage one another daily so that sin's deceitfulness doesn't pull us away, get us away from God, walking with God, being strong in the Lord, being used of God. That's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, have you ever seen somebody that seemed like a really smart person and they just were doing something really stupid? I mean, Have you ever seen somebody that they're making a horrible mistake? Maybe they're going out with the wrong person, or they're going to quit this great job they have, not knowing where they're going. I mean, you ever seen somebody just doing life in a ridiculous way, heading for trouble, and it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion? We've all been there. And we can see clearly that they're messing up. We need to have the relationships, not only where we see it, but where we have the credibility to speak into their life. Now, see, you can't just go up to a stranger or somebody you barely know and tell them and try to straighten them out. Guess what? They ain't gonna listen to you. But if you have a close relationship with somebody, where they know that you love them and they trust you, you can speak into their life and you say, hey, you're missing it here. I'm just telling you, this is the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. We have relationships that help all of us be stronger and help all of us in our walk with God. There was a conference some years ago where one pastor told the story about how they were running about 500 in their services, and they had new people coming and getting saved all the time, but they weren't ever growing. And this is so common in churches. It happens to every church to some degree. But the issue was that they had people leaving as fast as people were coming in. He got together a handful of their newest converts, and he just told them straight up. There was about 12 of them. He got them together as a group, and he said, now in 3 years, the statistics tell us that only one of you will still be attending this church and serving the Lord. And they were all looking at each other like, it's not I, is it, Lord? You know, like Judas at the Last Supper. And he told them, you know, there's going to be all kinds of hardships. There's going to be struggles. You're going to encounter difficulties and opportunities to be discouraged. And only one of you is going to be here in 3 years. They said, well, what do we do? He said, this is what you do. You make up your mind that you're going to encourage one another, that you're going to help one another, that you're going to pray for one another, that you're going to bear one another's burdens. You make up your mind that you're not going to let anybody go. This is the way it's supposed to be in church, that we're praying for one another, we're bearing one another's burdens, we're encouraging one another. We don't just let somebody go. But most of the time, the way it is in church is that people go and nobody was even the wiser, nobody even knows what happened. Where'd they go? I don't know. We got to have relationships where we are keeping up with each other. Now, I know some people, they're like, I don't want that. I just want to slip in and slip out. That's not church. Right. Come on. You need to get over that fear. Amen. And let God do a work in your heart, because there are some people that can love you and help you, and people that you can help. That's the way it's supposed to be. Real Christianity. We love one another. We encourage one another. We pray for one another. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? It's that we love one another. And in this context that he's talking about here, to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ means that you are going to help when somebody else is struggling. It means that when somebody else is making a mistake, somebody else is getting out of church, somebody else is having trouble, there's some obvious sin in their life, that you're going to restore them. That's how you love one another. You bear one another's burdens and you so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. And yet again, so often, why don't we see this happen in the body of Christ? Because so often we don't have the relationship to restore somebody. We need those relationships, the kind that bring accountability. One of the common denominators of people who fall or wipe out spiritually is they have no accountability. In other words, if you just drop out of church, who is it that's going to be calling you? Who is it that's going to get on you and say, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you at church? That's accountability. I mean, when you're doing something stupid, who is it that's going to say, hey, that's accountability. We need that. We need people that can hold us accountable to live for God and what we're supposed to be doing. If we're going to really live a victorious Christian life, I'm telling you, we need to have these kinds of relationships where those things happen. Here's one man's story. He says, I can remember being a member of a church for 4 years, and the last two of those years, he says, I was a deacon and a teacher, but I had no one that I could call as a friend to share my struggles that I was dealing with. He said, I lost the battle of those struggles. And he said, while I'm accountable for my own actions, he said, I longed for somebody that I could talk to and that would pray with me, that wouldn't condemn me or judge me and wouldn't tell anybody else, but that I could go to and know that I had their confidence and that I could trust them and they would love me and help me. That's the way it's supposed to be in the church, and so often it's missing. Right. And you know who that's on? All of us. Right. It's up to us to build those kinds of relationships, refocus on relationships. And out of those relationships, you see, we're focused on building relationships with one another. I don't want you to misunderstand me here. We don't want to turn inward where we aren't thinking about the lost, where we're not thinking about the one that used to walk with the Lord and now they've been out of church for a long, long time, not really serving God. I don't want us to become inward focused. We need these relationships. We've got to have that strength. But we also need to refocus on reaching the lost. We need to refocus on reaching the one that's drifted away from the Lord. We need to refocus on those that God brings into our church, that we are ready to receive them, to welcome them, to connect with them, to befriend them. We want to reach that lost person that's never known the Lord, but we also want to reach that person that's just out of fellowship with the Lord. You know, in the scripture, those people are referred to as lost also. They're away from God. And here in the Bible Belt, you will actually meet more unchurched people who used to go to church or at one time ask the Lord to come into their life, then you will people that have never known the Lord. And I'm just telling you, we want to reach both. We want to reach the person that has never known the Lord. But I'm just telling you also that that one that's lost, that's been out of church for a long time, sometimes they're even harder to the wind than a lost person. But we need to bring them back in too. We need to refocus on those relationships. We can't get to the place where we just have a spiritual club. Right. No, we should always be focused also on reaching the lost, reaching those that are away from the Lord, bringing them back into a relationship with God. Because I want to tell you, that's what gets heaven excited. And that is the example of our Lord and Savior. In Luke 15, 1 and 2, it says, tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. Boy, does that make you uncomfortable? Some sinners going to draw near to you. Why don't they? Now listen, your closest relationships, the people that you do life with and that speak into your life, they need to be strong believers. But you also need to have a life where you can reach out to other people and befriend other people and open that door for God to use you to reach them. Jesus was accused of welcoming sinners. Do you welcome sinners? Do you eat with sinners? Sometimes, now listen, I'm not talking about hanging out with sinners and being one of them. I'm talking about you being used of God. I'm talking about you opening the door, reaching out to people, loving people, building relationships with people, because God will use you to make a difference in their lives. And so often, this is how the Lord works. The vast majority of you, somebody, either a family member or a friend, or somebody that just reached out to you, it was some person that established a relationship with you to win you, to get you in. You see, we need those personal relationships that make a difference. So Jesus tells us what's really important. If you read on in Luke 15, verse 3 through 7, he says, he spoke this parable to them. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. If 99 of us gather here today for worship, I can tell you God likes our worship. He loves us. But here's what the scripture says. If there's just one that turns back to God, that brings more joy in heaven. There's a celebration around the throne when one sinner repents. And we need to always keep that heart, keep that passion, that we're not here just to maintain the church, just to hold on till Jesus comes. We're here to reach a lost and hurting world, lost and hurting people. And oh, how God can use relationships with people for us to do that. You know, the one time that I absolutely think that we should never fail, we ought to do our very, very, very best, is when God brings somebody to our church. I mean, how easy is that? He brings them to our door. And I just want to tell you that it's up to all of us, when somebody comes to our church, that we make them feel welcome, that we make them feel loved, that we make them feel like we really care that they're here, that it's a big deal to us. We want them to be a part. And I know some people, it scares them. You can go overboard, all right? But I'm just saying, oh, when the Lord brings somebody to our church, how we need to take that opportunity to connect those people, to love those people, and to see them get saved and serve in the Lord and become a true follower of Jesus. And it takes all of us. Because I got to tell you, some people aren't going to like the pastor. Now, some people like him okay preaching. But then they get to know him personally, they're like, yeah. Listen, that's the way it is for all of us. Each of us can connect with certain people and others we don't so much. And what I'm saying to you is we're a body. It takes all of us. There may be somebody comes through our door next week and you're the person that could have connected with them. You can't connect with everybody, but you need to realize that God wants to use you to make a difference in those people's lives. You know, the Pharisees, they just didn't get it. They kind of had this little spiritual club. And I think that sometimes churches are in danger of the same mentality. In fact, I knew a man one time that he didn't care. He just flat said, "I don't care if these people don't like our church. We like it." You know, it's kind of that same old mentality, like, you know, we walked to church 5 miles both directions uphill in the snow, and we didn't have air conditioning. We sat on a hard pew in a dirt floor, and we liked it. I'm thanking God that's not where we are, right? But I want to tell you, I'm also thanking God that that's not who we are, that we're not that church that doesn't care whether people come or not. No, we want to win the lost. I've seen this so many times that a lot of times, if we don't watch ourselves, if we're not intentional about it, what happens is that we'll be friendly to people in the sense that we say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you," and that's friendly. But then we go back to our little holy huddle. And that's not right. Because just being friendly is not enough. Somebody has got to make friends with that person. And there's a difference. Somebody has to establish a relationship with that person. That's what's going to happen. That's the way it is for all of us in the body of Christ. And we need to understand that when new people come to the church, it's so important that we do that. I pastored a church one time where for about 5 years, we had very few new people come to the church. And then this one family came, and the husband, he was kind of opposite from me. I'm a real introvert. This guy was super extroverted. I mean, everywhere he went, he knew everybody. And some of you, you're like that. And so I just want you to hear this testimony, because some of you, I'm telling you, God wants to use you way more than what you're allowing. But this guy, you know, he was a little rough around the edges. I really liked him though, just saying. He was a little rough around the edges. And in 1 year, this guy brought more people to church than the rest of that congregation had done in the previous 5 years. As he'd go out to the little league ball field, and he'd be talking to people, and he'd say, "Cowboy, you need to come to church." I'm just telling you, he just talked to everybody everywhere he went, and he'd be inviting people to church. We need that in the body of Christ today, where we're just constantly reaching out. How is it that some of us get to the place where we're so isolated from the world and we feel real spiritual about it? But I'm telling you, we need to step out of our box and reach out to some people, befriend some people, help them find what we know. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story this morning. I grew up in a home where, you know, we believed in Jesus, and we went to church a little bit here and there. And I just, you know, always considered myself to be a Christian. I mean, I thought everybody in America was a Christian. I didn't know any better, you know. We're all Christians, right? And so I always considered myself to be a Christian, but never really had much of a personal relationship with the Lord. And then when I was a teenager, and I had a broken heart, I was going through a hard time, an older lady, a grandmother, led me to the Lord to pray a sinner's prayer and invited Jesus into my life. And she asked me to come to church with her, and so I went to church with her. It was a big church, and there was a whole lot of young people there that I saw that I knew from school, and none of them spoke to me. And I didn't think anything about it. I didn't expect them to speak to me. There wasn't really even much of an opportunity. You know, we went in for service, walked out the door. I didn't see any need to go back. And here's the thing. I was sincere in my prayer. And I prayed a little more. I slept with my Bible because it gave me peace. But for the most part, my life was unchanged. I didn't even know what it meant to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I had no clue what it was like to really live a Christian life and follow the Lord, to be a disciple of Jesus. No idea what that was. About 6 months goes by, and I was at a football game one night, and just by chance, I met a young lady that was sitting behind me. The next Monday at school, I'm walking down the hall, and I see this young lady. Never seen her before that football game, and the very next Monday, I see her in the hall at school, and she says, "I want you to come to church with me." I said, "Okay." Went to church with her. And this youth group latched on to me. They actually cared about me. They called me. They kept up with me. I mean, they were after me. And something happened. God began to work in my life. Things began to change. I began to understand. The more that I kept going to church and being around these people, and I turned my life over to God completely. I got to the place where I totally 100% committed myself to the Lord. Then I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And a short time after that, I was called into ministry. I'm telling you, it was because of those relationships that helped me in my walk with God. Now, that's part of my story. And I know it's not everyone's story, but I also know that a lot of the time, those same kinds of principles happen with a lot of people. We need those kind of spiritual relationships to help us, to keep us going. And so when we're talking about the lost, the unchurched, those who are away from God, let me tell you, those relationships are such key. So we got to refocus on relationships. Just realize this. You befriending someone new to the church may make the difference in whether or not they get closer to God, whether or not they stay in church and become a true disciple, a follower of Jesus. See, making friends with somebody may not sound real spiritual, but when it's for the right reason, it can be life-changing. It's time for us to refocus. Refocus on relationships that make us stronger. Refocus on relationships with those who need the Lord. Refocus on relationships with people who are not where they ought to be. Refocus on relationships where we can be a blessing to somebody and help somebody else along their way. I believe God wants to use every one of us. And you know what? On some level, in some way, every single one of us can do this. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray.